Some years ago, we had a Bible study on the book of Corinthians, and in the second epistle, I believe it's the second chapter, there was this expression, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." That is, Satan's devices. That troubled me a little because over the many, many years, we thought he uses doubt, discouragement, deception, the lusts of the flesh, and things like that. But then another scripture, a little more recently, has impressed itself upon my mind, and that is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. And we are changing one word because we think it's proper. We're not going to discuss this, but it states, "And when the 1,000 years are expiring, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog." This is a second application at the end of the kingdom age. "To gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." We don't take the secondary application, the sand meaning down here, returning to material beings here. It's the number. The startling fact is this is after the knowledge of the Lord fills the entire earth as the waters cover the sea. "And all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." It's after that instruction that Satan is successful in deceiving the nations in the four quarters of the earth, the number of which is as the sand of the sea. At first, this is scary. But profit can be gained by studying Satan. And God has furnished us with considerable information, detailed information, more than Jesus Christ in the Old Testament about Lucifer, his original name, when he was in favor with his maker, and then he became Satan. So we'd want to, now while he is the principal in many of the statements we will be making, that is not the theme of our talk. So I don't know how to give it a title. So we'll see now as we go along what the problem is. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we have a description of Satan, who is styled as the king of Tyrus. There's interesting historical background information. We're not going to go into the antitypes about the Catholic system, and we're not going back to the history of Tyrus itself. But notice, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God." This is God speaking, his appraisal. Thou,
meaning Satan,
thou sealest up the sun. He had it all. Full of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. This is Satan, this Lucifer, his original creation. God said he was perfect in beauty. He was handsome. He had charisma. Now, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. We're not going to discuss that. But this part, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee. God prepared Satan with these qualities. And this is like the jewels in the breastplate. He didn't only have one facet of temperament or character. He had it all. This is the sum. Full of wisdom and beauty, of temperament as well. We, for want of another word, physically handsome, as it were. Was thy tabrets mentioned, is we believe, it has to do with music, but I believe it has to do with his ability to sing. You know, great singers consider their voice as an instrument. And they, most people sing with the lungs and the larynx. Great singers sing from the belly up, plus the lungs. And that requires much training. And prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He wasn't born. Satan was a separate creation. Jesus didn't create Satan. We could prove God is the creator, not Jesus. That is not the subject matter today and can be easily proven. There's an abundance of evidence. But our theme now is in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub. Why, just like a king or a priest. God anointed this cherub, this spirit being, with not only qualities, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He had the liberty to go up and down the stairs of creation. And I have set thee so. God set him in this position. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, meaning the stars, the different constellations, the different levels, and we can't go into that. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. God did not create Lucifer to be Satan. He became Satan. Sometimes we fail to distinguish between the attributes of God. It's one thing to have the possession of power, the Almighty God, the all-seeing, the omniscience of God, their possession, which he has inherent, is one thing, but the exercise of those attributes is a separate thing.
And all that God has called and created, he did not have any mischievous purpose in mind that he would be using them later. And we could speak a long time on this. These are subjects we don't speak on normally, that we have harbored for a considerable period of time. But we feel it is beneficial to give a cursory examination of this subject. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, the multitude of his merchandise, had filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. We're going to pass this. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane. Really, this is mistranslated in the thinking. He had already cast him out as profane. Out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. By reason of not only the brightness, therefore I will cast thee to the ground. This is future. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. We have to skip by this. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never thou shalt be any more. And these jewels were real. They're not like generals with medallions and ribbons. These that God gave to Lucifer were not the 10 talents, but 12. That's the maximum. He had everything. He had it all. Now, we read in Job 38th chapter, verse 7, concerning whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, that is the earth, who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. We believe that the morning stars refers to Jesus and Lucifer, and they sang together beautifully. They sang, but the sons of God shouted for joy, not having the beauty, but this is the chorus. The other spirit beings. Now, these morning stars, we believe, were two. Now, in the creative days, it says evening, morning, the first day, second day, third day, so forth. That is, the evening started with, it was hard to perceive God's dealings in doing what he said he would do that day until evening turned to morning of fulfillment. But with the creation of Jesus, the first creation of God, Satan was right after it. That's why it's called morning. They began with a morning of fulfillment. They began perfect. It wasn't an evening developing and culminating in the morning. They were started, and Lucifer's name means day star. What's day star? The sun. Now you have two suns. Jesus Christ is likened to a sun in certain places. And Lucifer was in a similar position. We think the plural here of the morning stars is a duality and nothing more. And that can be proved in various ways. First, before doing that, in Daniel, the 10th chapter, it speaks of the prince of Persia withstanding Gabriel, who was sent to answer a prayer of Daniel, to Daniel, and he was withstood 21 days. Now, Gabriel didn't get into trouble himself. It was the God of this world, the world empire, being now a sort of a transition period. This is later in Daniel's life. No, he lived to Cyrus, king of Persia. And here, that king of Persia is not a human being down here, a king. And it said that none of the other holy angels were with Gabriel when he was withstood. And God purposely allowed Michael to wait for 21 days to allow Satan not merely to inhibit Gabriel from delivering the answer to his prayer, but prohibit until Michael came. Now, why was it that the holy angels didn't immediately go to assist Gabriel, deliver from this encounter? Because they were no match. So great was the power of Satan that they were timid to wage an unsuccessful battle. They were loyal. They were proven loyal after the flood. They did not leave their first estate, but they did not want to get into this engagement. And then Michael came. Michael is stronger, but a different temperament. And Michael enabled Gabriel to complete his mission. So we can see the power of Satan. Why he is the prince of the demons. He has lived for thousands of years. He was not under a death sentence. He did not deteriorate in beauty or physical strength. I don't know how else to call it. That didn't diminish. And this is a part of him being of self-deception, not God's deception, self-deception on his part. Then now we know that the morning stars, that the plurality is dual, because in Daniel 10, he is styled one of the Satan, or Lucifer at that time, well, no, Satan at this time, was styled one of the chief princes. Now, how do we know this? In the book of Revelation, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, singular. It was plural before, but he lost that position of glory and honor that God bestowed on him originally. Now, instead of being morning stars, there's only one. Revelation 2:28, the church's promise, if they're faithful, I will give him, that is the faithful overcomer, the morning star himself. Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, that is Daystar, son of the morning, how art thou cut to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Not God, but the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So Satan's demise is down here. And there are several reasons we think this, even from a scientific standpoint, this is why it will be done. In Genesis, the second chapter, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Adam was formed outside the garden. And out of the ground made the Lord God, that in this garden, to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the Lord is confiding in us that when he made the garden, that all the trees were good for food. And he wants us to know that. In the same chapter, verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is such a simple test. This is generous on God's part. The test was a simple test of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice and the sacrifice of animals or any other works. Obedience is the bottom line for salvation to our Creator, our Father. Now, when he was put in the garden, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. The reason we say this is she did not hear the original instruction to Adam about not eating of the tree. That was to Adam solely. She got it secondhand later. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. God made the serpent subtle. Satan did not know this. God made that serpent subtle to start with. That's important. God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth. after his kind, and God saw that it was good. The serpent had legs originally. I believe four. I'm not going to try to prove it now. But he looked different than he did later. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is slanting it different. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's an additive, which usually takes place with second and third hand information. She thought that it not only was not good for food, it was poisonous, so poisonous even to touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now, in this Genesis account that we read, not one word of Satan. Satan is not even mentioned. Why? He used the serpent to be his mouthpiece. Remember Balaam's ass? The Lord used Balaam's ass to talk to him, and he was so distraught, he began to talk with the animal, not realizing the miracle that was happening. Well, here, Satan used the serpent. And this is a part of his own personal subtlety, thinking that by doing this indirectly through the serpent, it removed him of guilt of being. This shows that when one is an accessory to the crime, they're as guilty as the one who commits the act. And we find, too, that even in the law, it says a false witness gets the penalty of the criminal if he's to be executed and he speaks falsely in his defense, he suffers the same fate. So this is a part of Satan's subtlety, doing this indirectly. How subtle. Satan is a deceiver. He is a accuser. If you cross Satan, all these niceties of what was pleasing, his personal charisma, becomes malevolent. If you cross him, now he's your enemy. And your accuser, and even destroyer, your adversary as a lion, seeks to destroy God's people. So this was a veneer. And that's that you shall not surely die. This is what the serpent said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The reason Satan said this, he heard the instruction God gave to Adam. And that God called that tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he thought that that seemed to put him deeper into a deception, a self-deception. God foresaw what would happen and gave the name, but that wasn't the purpose that God was himself a deceiver. It's this reading into information falsely. And this becomes very important. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, we believe Satan made the serpent eat of that fruit. The serpent didn't die. How did the woman know it was good for food? She witnessed it as being good for food. Not from what she was told. And that it was pleasant to the eyes, to be desired, to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Adam was not deceived, the Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament. The woman was deceived. And so was Satan. Self-deception, not God's deception. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made them aprons. Now, our theme text. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. For the Lord God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. God, as our Creator, has that right to prove us whether we love Him with all our heart and soul. Thoroughly proper. I have to leave out some. Now, it's interesting that it seems inherent in man, in fallen, the fallen human nature. It states, Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 21 states, 2, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Why, even the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Satan thought he was in the right. That's why he did what he did. He knew that God was powerful, more powerful than he, but God was love. There never was sin before. There was no occasion for God to be angry, to display that he not only loves righteousness, but he hates iniquity. That was never displayed. So Satan viewed God not as a pussycat, but so tender, so respectful, so fatherly, that he didn't think that of a threat along that nature. And then his own, he didn't die. He has lived as a spirit sentient being with all this vitality that he had. He now began to make conclusions that almost like the soul being immortal. Now, we feel God set the stage in Eden. Man was created outside the garden, and it appears that Adam and Eve had observed that the serpent was the wiliest of creatures, that they observed. And it appears that Satan's familiarity with God's instructions regarding the death penalty, appears he was aware of that. It appears that no death had ever occurred in heaven, It appears that in heaven God had ever, never manifested displeasure, anger, wrath or hatred of iniquity. He was a God of love, benevolence, kindness, gentleness, sensitivity to the feeling of others. Why? Because of the absence of disobedience. So it was likely, we believe, that Satan concluded no reason on account of fear that if he differed with God, and that if he, God was at a loss to destroy a spirit being, why, this gave him this boldness to let the secret desires of his heart to come out, openly be manifested. Now, God purposely withheld this information, further information regarding the tree of knowledge. He concluded, Satan, for some nefarious reason, for some selfish purpose, that it better that be not done. It was only a test of obedience. That's all. Simple. Very simple. So God is not that severe, except he is the creator, and we are to obey him. And Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 44, calls the devil a murderer from the beginning. That means in Eden. Even though he used the serpent, he was the murderer and a liar. Now, Satan didn't think he was a liar. Satan thought that his observation, from a pragmatic standpoint, seemed to be very logical. If you put yourself in his position, it would seem very likely that God was withholding something here, and he's posing to be a benefactor of Adam and Eve. How nice that he, this paternal attitude he's trying to imitate, that he is interested in the welfare of those he's deceiving. And so the definition of the liar is a false witness. It doesn't matter about your attitude, if you make false statement, you are responsible for the false statement as a witness. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, we believe the Gospels were written in the order we find them in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the computers that teach otherwise are wrong. The facts indicate contrarywise if we're familiar with Scripture. The computer is man's wisdom. It's what's put into the computer that becomes important, that is extracted. Jesus went into the wilderness from Jordan, and the Luke account, I believe, gives the proper sequence. Matthew gives the three temptations of Jesus, three trials that he went through in his encounter with the adversary, and Matthew's account is 100% right, but a different sequence. You don't have to be right. He just stated the facts as they are. There were these three temptations. He didn't say second and third. But when Luke comes, he just made the switch around, and that agrees with the nature of the temptations. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. all that period. We only think of the three temptations at the end. And in those days did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou art the Son of God. This has been misrepresented in many talks. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Why, just when he was at Jordan, a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Do you think he forgot that? That he was the Son of God? So when Satan says, "If thou art the Son," he means, since you are the Son of God, why don't you satisfy your hunger? Well, there's nothing wrong with Jesus satisfying his hunger, but not by using the miraculous spiritual powers he possessed. This is a lesson for many ministers who preach the Word of God as like business. They have large mansions. They have Cadillacs and all. That's a misuse of gospel privilege and power. And then comes the one, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This was not a mountain. This was a satellite view. The word mountain is supplied. But he sees the Roman Empire from this position. And all these were to be given in a moment of time, where God's time is slow, meticulous, perfect. But this is a shortcut. Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut to be the king of the world. All he had to do was to follow this. And what had happened? The devil said to him, "All this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Now, just a simple genuflection. How nice. Jesus answered, said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, just like the first one, man shall not live by bread alone. Here, before it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil brings him to Jerusalem, and we'd like to go into the physics of this, but we haven't time. And set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If, that is, since thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down." Now Satan quotes scriptures. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus didn't go up to that pinnacle. The devil brought him up to the temple and then made this suggestion. And of course, this great miracle of him being saved from this, it's 200, I believe, instead of 400, as most dictionaries have, that fall. "Cast thyself down, for it is written, give his end. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shouldst dash thy foot against a stone." Why, this was a very powerful suggestion made. There are no shortcuts. We are to do God's will. We're not to lean to our own understanding. We're to trust totally in God, his way, his word, and not theories of men. And Jesus answered him, said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended of the Old Testament, not from what he got up in heaven, because that in the book is so important. The Old Testament has the principles of divine government. It's equally important with the New Testament. You cannot divide the two. You cannot separate them. Next. And Moses manifested it. Moses took that stand. Now, God says, "I, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live." In Deuteronomy 30, "I call heaven and earth to record against you," that's natural history, "that I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing." Choose thy life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love, is cleave unto him, and about the length of days. The Father seeketh such to worship him